Blessed be thy wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Father, as we gather this time to thy word, we pray, Father, Lord, to anoint, Father, the hearing and the speaking of thy word. And Lord, help us to understand the hour we live in, as to stand for the truth that we have, Father, in this hour. We ask for thy blessing, Lord, as you approach thy word now. That, Lord, you give us an understanding, a deeper walk with you in the days that we are now in, Father, the hour that we're living in now. How, Lord, important it is for us to be watchful and prayerful, Father, and be in supplication, Lord, in this life of ours now. Father, we ask for your blessing, Lord, again, as you approach thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 10 to 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 11. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now this morning I just want to speak a little on who am I. We will not be able to finish it today. But I want to just lay something here that we have been familiar with. Something that we all are aware of. But I want to just go over again and bring us to that knowledge, to that revelation where we can be firmly planted in the Word of Christ. Here we read where Paul wrote this concerning that there is no other foundation that a man can lead, other than what has already had been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now we know that before the foundation of the world, before anything came into existence, God counseled with himself and he already laid a foundation even before this world was built, was created. And it is this foundation that is Christ, in which this Christ, the anointing, was then manifest in Jesus. We know him as Jesus the Christ. And it's this foundation that makes us to be aware of our relationship with our God. It is this foundation that God had a purpose in creation and in recreation as well. And in redemption. Everything that God had so counseled or decreed to be brought forth and to come to an end from the very beginning, being that he was the author, being that also he will be the finisher of it, everything then for centered in this foundation. We cannot move from this foundation without standing on sinking sand. Like it or not, we as believers must realize this importance of this one revelation in our life. We may not know many things in scriptures, but we need to know this one foundation. And if we know this one foundation, then can we continue in the building up of our faith. Because every revelation, every other things in our Christian life hinged on this foundation. Without this foundation, we have nothing at all. Do you understand that? Now, here we have today in the Christian world, there are a lot of people that are using
God for a selfish motive or gain.
There in this one website I was reading, this person kept on exposing and said all sorts of things, you know, against this big organization, Benny Hinn, you know, this big Christian organization, publishing house, and against book like Tim LaHaye being left behind, you know, you know that, and even they are making these movies, Left Behind, and they are showing, you know, all throughout the United States. You know. So, and truly enough, I agree with this man who, you know, hit up against all these ridiculous books and all these things that they are being, that they are filling out and also being taught on televisions and in this great so-called evangelistic campaign. Because here we are living in an hour where, since the middle of this of the last 20th century, in 1950s onward, we have all this charismaticism, or this charismatic movement that came out. And as I said before, and I said this time and time again, like it or not, you can tell your friend who are charismatic. The charismaticism is not a move of God. God is not in this thing. God was once with Pentecostalism when he first started. With the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of the 20th century, God was in this move. By and by, when the prophet came and preached and they rejected it, and God had indicted the whole system. And Pentecostalism died. As Pentecostalism died, charismaticism already was at work for a decade already. But God wasn't in that movement. It is a tool. The charismaticism is a spirit tool where Satan has been using it to bring about a unity of the Christian churches together and bring it back to Rome. It was through these tools of charismaticism that Romanism was able to be received by all the other denominations. Because after all, if there is something that is common, you know, in Catholicism, their worship is always Mary. And denomination has always been against that. Against the Pope and all these things. But here, plaster overnight, when the Catholic churches began to embrace tongue speaking, exorcism, the gift, charisma, you know, charismatic, charisma. And so, the denominators say, hey, well, look, if the Holy Spirit was given to them, that means they must have salvation. They must be part and parcel of the body of Christ. Do you understand that? So, that's the reason why the stage had been set for the last 50 or so years. To bring us to the place that we are now today. For that showdown. The Bible said about the last day people falling away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Paul said in the book of Timothy. And we read that in Titus also. You know, we see this thing happening today in our time. But yet we see a lot of this thing that is going on for the last 50 years. We know that lots of them, men, are using God for their own personal gain. They use Him, or we'll say, take His word, take His name, for their own personal gain. They have a selfish motive. Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What is to be pure in heart? When you say pure in heart, in what sense? As I said before, is it supposed to be, well, you know, your mind is clean, your action is clean, your talk is clean, your walk is clean, it's pure, everything, and then you shall see God. Then in that way we would have the Buddhist monk and Buddhist nun, they will see God. Wouldn't it? The pure in heart speaks of something that is gained in the heart that could make it pure. Without the Word of God, you can never begin to know what is purity and what is holiness. Because all our other righteous acts, being that if I'm not a believer, I'm not a Christian, or a one who's not born again, I can walk like a Buddhist nun walked, and I could be like a Buddhist monk or a fakir, you know. Or Shama, you know, quite Shama, you know, those with saffron robe and all very holy. Whatever. You can live that aesthetic life, you know. But it doesn't mean that you are pure in heart. What is lies in the hearts of men? If there is no word of God in there reciting in it, then all our righteous acts are just a filthy rags. You see. So the question boils down to one thing that Jesus asked in the book of Matthew 16. Who am I? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a question that will go down into eternity when you come up to the day of judgment, the great white throne. The question has to be asked. Huh? Everyone that stood before God in the great white throne judgment, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am all these years? Who do you think I was when you were living in those years and the gospel was preached and you heard it? Right? To great men, great scientists, historians, students, polytechnic student or university student, whatever you are, you will know and hear the name Jesus Christ. The question boils down, who is He? And if we do not come to the realization of who Jesus is, then we don't have a life to begin with. We have a life that is like an animal in this world. Born into this world, raised up by mama, suckling at the breast, get up, grow older, some animal you know, like an eagle, chew on the food, regurgitate, and put into the beak of little eaglet. Isn't it, right? Then the mama raises it up, tells the child how to walk, or how to fly, whatever it is, just like an animal. Then we go to school and talk about this, about that, earn money, get married, have our own family, and we just die like any animals. That should be the life that you'll be living. That's not a life to begin with. That's not real life. The issue in the newspaper, Charles Lee Wiling, isn't it? Wrote about the issues about the Siamese twin, the conjoined twin. Ganga and Juma or something or whatever, isn't it? Jambula. Separated. The issues, should they be separated? Or they should not be separated? If they're not separated, they don't have a life. Joined to the head. If they were separated, well, they have been separated now. Do they have any life? One of them became partly, in fact, like a vegetable. Men need to think about these and question about what is right and wrong. But the leading, normal person, like you and me, we were not born conjoined twins or joined any part of the body that we had to be separated. We are free individual. We are on our own. We walk where we want to walk and we go where we want to go. Eat what we want and so forth. Well, do we really have a life? Normal people think they do. But I can tell you one thing. Without Christ Jesus, you don't even begin to have a life. This world, this life is not worth the living without Jesus Christ. I heard that song. You know, sing by, I think, by James Blackwood. You know, it's a beautiful song. When I was once young, I came to know the Lord. I was thrilled and was happy. But when I grew older, you know, I began to be attracted to the things of the world and began to go my own way and live my own life, and I begin finding my own backsliding. So what foundation are we standing on? Are we building on? You don't even have anything to build on, nothing to stand on to begin with, if you do not have the revelation of the foundation that God has laid. Now how important is that to you and me? We got to be pure in heart. We got to let the word of Jesus Christ draw in our heart. Then that word can begin to grow and begin to be able to teach us and guide us into what is purity. Is that alright? How to live the life and to be able to have the revelation that there is life beyond this ordinary, that there is a spiritual life, there is a spiritual kingdom on this earth right at this time. And God is building it up until we be transformed into something that is reality. There's something that becomes tangible for us to see and feel with our own eyes and hands. Here we are sitting here because we believe that we are part of the kingdom of God. But what we see is only potential. We are not yet what we are supposed to be. Though it is already confirmed by the Lord that it will be, but we have not yet seen it as the way it should be. When you look at a caterpillar, you know, you say just a caterpillar, it's not a butterfly. For all you, or for the little wormy thing that crawl on its wiggly little legs, and you know, he doesn't care what you think. He knows that he's a butterfly. You can say that he's an ugly caterpillar. He just says, forget about what you are saying. You know, I would look at you as a foolish person. Can't you see my beauty? I'm really a beautiful butterfly. Multicolored. Scales. I'm flapping, you know. Can't you see it? When God look out at us, he consider that what we are already. But we need to be like a caterpillar and not just say, oh, I'm a butterfly, and stop eating and just sit there. It will just die. It will not even be transformed. And that's the attitude of many Christians. They don't realize that they didn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the day they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a butterfly, and all these things, you know. And they don't even do what is necessary to bring that reality, to bring that truth to a reality. To its finished end. Because if there is a nature of the butterfly within the caterpillar, then the instinct is to eat, fellowship, walk, and so forth, in that which is built in us. That the same thing, the Word of God is in us. If we are born again, and we are really a child of God, that's something that's in our heart, that Word, that instinct, so to speak, in quotation, instinct. You know, natural instinct, a spiritual instinct. If I'm a child of God, definitely I have that spiritual spirit, that instinct, you say, the image, that very, what the Bible would say, pneumatica. Pneuma. The spirit, the power. That will just push you. And naturally you will go on to eating the Word of God, to fellowshipping, to worship Him, to grow the caterpillar, you will just have to eat and grow. Do you know what I mean? A mild tree in the, among hundreds of thousands of caterpillars in a big tree, it will just continue to eat. They will eat and they will eat, they will fellowship and they eat. And just remember that, when this thing continued after a few days, when it became a chrysalis, and one fine morning, I remember way back when I was in the 60s, when I went to work in a motorcycle, I came out of my, my estate from where I was traveling towards Tanglin Road, you know, the Ministry of Education in those days was there, went up there, oh my, I was surprised to see it was around 6 o'clock. In the morning. And the road was just fucked up. You know what I mean? Literally with yellow butterflies. I can't even see what's ahead. I wonder where it came from. And it came from actually behind the park there, you know. And there were so many, you know, I just motorcycled through the road. I mean, I guess I know where the road was, and just went through, and the butterfly was just crawling around everywhere. You just imagine, one fine morning, it just breaks up all those chrysalis, pupa, just split open, and thousands of the butterflies start flying out. You know? And that's what we're all looking for. People are all Christians are looking for the rapture to take place. They're waiting for the coming of the Lord, in which they'll be taken up like this. But then, if you are not doing what is necessary, if that word of God is really in you, it would be a natural thing for you to continue feeding the word, fellowship, worship, and growing the grace of the Lord. Isn't it? Yeah, of course I know that we all, God had desire us in such a way, somehow or other, we all have different temperament. Melancholy, you know, sanguine, whatever. We have all different types. So, don't let that be an excuse. You know, Jesus had 12 apostles, they are all kinds of temperament too, you know. Peter being sanguine and maybe like Thomas being a melancholic fella. You know. So, that the growing grace. They have a problem with that. It's sure upon a problem with Barnabas, John Mark, and Silas, and whatever, you know, some of them, you know. Barnabas, you know, was with Paul, and then suddenly he decided not to go, and so forth. So, Paul took John Mark instead. Well, whatever the problem was there. But you know what? They do not let emotion ruin their life. Don't let emotion in our life become a hindering stone that prevents you from fellowship with others and your attitude towards others. If you ever go on the internet and look at all those forums, sometimes I see the problem that each person has when they approach into this forum site. Some come into this forum site like they are a know-all fella instead of judge everybody else. You know. And then we have, of course, misunderstanding between brothers and brothers and sisters every time. But don't let that be an emotional thing with you that you will hold it in your heart, and you cannot really have true fellowship. Because you know, heaven is not a place where you know you can choose, says, I want to be alone. And put a sign out there in your mansion and says, get out! You know. And I say this, so I not believe this. God is going to deal with us as we come to the place where Christ is going to take us. He is going to shape us and mold us.
And he's going to correct us, just like Abraham, just like Moses, just like David.
You think of every character in the Bible that got it, God's who is precious in the eyes of God. You see how God felt even how at the end of it. Don't you see that?
And Brother Abraham made this statement. My brother asked me whether it's true. I said, yep, it's true 100%.
Brother Abraham said, if a Christian, if a child of God is stubborn, refuse to change, continue the way of sin, and refuse to be corrected in truth, Brother Abraham said that God's going to take him home. Going to capture his life. Yeah, sure.
And you can see what is happening now in the, you know, in the life of some ministers of God today. There are ways God can deal with a man. Can he shut, take him home? Or put him through a hard trial and wake him up? You know, or take something from under him and he has no support and see what happened to him.
And if you're going to be a child of God, he's going to come cry home. Just like what we call the prodigal son.
Huh? Squander everything and come to his senses.
And you read in the newspaper, I think just today or yesterday, a man who was a world-class gambler.
Huh?
Singaporean, man! He's number two on the chart! You know that? Squanderer, how much money, how many millions of dollars that he gambled away, and that money came from some bank, some, you know, oh my. And now he's spending jail. I don't know how many years was sent to jail. 40-something years, huh? 42 years. Wow. 42 years.
Just like, it seems like a life imprisonment, you know. But then he gets out. I don't know whether he'll be able to walk.
What kind of life then do we, are we walking in when we look at the Word of God? If it is true that we have a foundation, and our foundation is in Christ, and that Word is real, God is going to do something to us.
Huh?
Sure, He's going to save us. And that's why our churches today, our fellowship here, some of the brothers and sisters are going to trial.
Huh?
Some are watching, okay, I'm glad the Lord, I'm not yet on trial, maybe I'm just a little trial. As long as you walk in the Lord, sooner or later there will be trial, whichever way the trial will be, big or small.
Huh?
But what's your weakness? That's why God will do something about it. To get you to come back right on the Word and get you and tear away all your, you know, blessed are the pure in heart. Your emotional attitude, if your clutches, you know, because something happened, you use that to clutch and give some excuses, God is going to break that. Or our pride, God is going to break that. You see. And that's actually what happened to many people. Ministers today, it's one of the big problems, the pride. Does not want to admit or continue going on and say, no, that is true. When we look at this verse here, remember this, Paul said, I laid a foundation according to the grace of God which is given me. We're all given grace, you know, a certain amount of faith. God give us grace, by His grace He give us some amount of faith, a gift, you know, to grow in.
And whatever God has given you, whatever present, make use of it. Do I ever make use of those things that God has, the talent? It's important to make use of that talent. If you don't make use of that talent, we're going to lose it. See, young people, you know, as I said, you got a chance here to do something for the Lord, like playing a musical instrument or sing. Get together and sing a song. Practice at home and come out here and sing. If you come here, you are nervous or you feel shy or whatever it is. Why is that to be shy? We are all brother and sister. I know brother Joe came up here. He got nervous. He got hard to sing. I don't know. But it's okay, brother Joe. Nobody, you know, we are not saying that, okay, if you don't sing as well as Brother Gan, don't sing. No, we are not asking you to come out here like singing, and sing like some of these world class opera singers, you know, paparazzi or whatever that, you know, those kind. No, I'm not interested, or like these pop singers, you know, or this American Idol thing, you know. Then you have the good voice come and say, no, we are not interested in that. You come here because there is some song that God put in your heart that you want to share, or something that you have been a blessing to, you want to sing. Do you know what? I don't know. You see, when I was in Philippines, and I always said, I'm going to sing a song. Say, yes, brother guy, we want to hear. And they enjoy it. Now, whether in key or out key, doesn't matter, but they enjoy it. So we love that song, but again, then they really want to learn the song and they sing. You know. And that's what we are. We are here, as Paul said, if you have a song, sing it. If you have a testimony, give it. If the revelation, share it. You have something, contribute. That's the purpose of it. Or else if we become here, we just sit down, we worship, we just listen to the gospel and a message and that's it. You know, we must contribute. Exhort one another. When we exhort others, we get exhorted. Do you realize the thing? That's, you know, sometimes when I preach, when I'm overseas, when I really preach, 2-3 hours, one whole stretch, after that, I couldn't even eat. All I want is just drink. They want to ask me to eat, I says, I can't eat because I'm full. That is true, you know. That's why when Jesus went up, you know, went to see the woman at the well, the disciple came with food, he said, oh, I already eaten. You know, I eat food that you do not know about. The exaltation, the edification of others, make one get fed up, you know, with spiritual food. And you get refreshed and energized. So when you come together, whatever you give, according to the grace of God which is given me, while God told that God has given me as a wise master builder, show him. He's a wise master builder. As a wise master builder. As one who knows what to do. Because he was given that gift. He said, I have laid the foundation. Now, I said this before. When he said, I have laid the foundation, it is not a real foundation for the Gentiles. Like some people are preaching today. The minister started it. And try to make a fitting gospel. Make Paul's gospel only for the Gentiles. The little book in the book of Revelation 10. You know, the little book is the gospel and epistle of Paul. And said that we are all Gentiles, so we need that. You know, so we are not built upon the foundation of those 12, but the foundation of Paul, which is pure nonsense. Their foundation, let me tell you one thing, the Bible here, In any expression, if you look into almost all the translations, 50% of all the translators will tell you, I laid a foundation. 50% will say, I laid the foundation. What's the problem? Is it the foundation or our foundation? Let me tell you one thing. If you give me a book to read, and you ask me, Brother God, have you read it? I say, yes, I've read the book. I won't tell you I have read a book. Would I? English translation is like this. That's why they say a foundation or the foundation. Common sense is that God has given Paul to build a foundation, and he said, I built the foundation. If someone gives you a book to read, you ask your son or name, have you read it? You won't say, is that a book? No, I said, I have given you the book to read. That book. Not a book. Which a book are you talking about? Isn't it? So therefore I have read the book. Paul was given a foundation. He didn't lay the foundation. Peter was given a foundation to build. Peter had built the foundation. You understand? But you know, the Bible is not English. Dr. Lamsa said to Brother Branham, he said, know these people.
It was found in the book of Sermon Church Rich.
Brother Branham was saying, Dr. Lamsa gave him a copy of this translated book, translated Bible, Lamsa translation.
Brother and Dr. Lamsa told him, you know,
the Bible is not a Western book. And this people here are trying to interpret an Eastern book with a Western idea. Huh? And that's why you have problems. The Bible is an Eastern book, and besides the bigger Eastern book, it has Hebrew expression that you cannot understand by your Western culture or tradition or grammar or words, whatever it is. Huh? We Chinese, we have particular expression. The Indian, he has certain expression. If you do not know what expression is, you can translate word for word and you'll find it funny. Huh? 加油! No, no, it's 加油. You know, in those days before when I was young, I believe those who are in my age, when there is during what they call sports day, we never hear people say, tell you. But now they explain, tell you. And what is tell you? Of course, that oil, F-fuel. F-fuel! If you look at translation, what is that? You try to do that with the Bible, you get that. F-fuel! You see, the expression of one culture, one country, or one language cannot be literally interpreted like that. Do you see that? That's why Dr. Lamsa, when he translated the Bible, he used the Aramaic spoken expression. You see. And here, when Brother Abraham had it, he says, in whatever translation it is, without the revelation of the Spirit of God, you will never get it.
Amen.
And it's so true. You come here and you try to say, the foundation for the Gentiles. Hey, look. When Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, he was speaking to the Corinthians. And this book that he wrote to the Corinthians is being read by those in Thessalonica, and those in Galatia, those in Ephesus. Isn't it? Huh? It's just an epistle. It says, I have laid the foundation that God had given me to lay. You see? And what was it? Simple. When you have 12 apostles, one of them lived, you know, Judas Iscariot, of course, was an apostle before Christ died. There was one kind of apostolic ministry that was before Christ died. And after Christ died, it was a different kind of apostolic ministry where they lay a different kind of a foundation, you see. And when we talk about the foundation, the apostolic foundation, we are not talking about the foundation that is Christ. Do you understand that? And you know, the educated mind, now even though we are all Chinese, the trouble is that when we sit here, we think in English. Do you ever think in Tamil? Hindi. Do you think in Hindi? Brother, do you think in Tamil or you think in English? Because we are English speaking, we tend to think in English. I would think, I say in Hokkien, I think in Hokkien, then I speak in English. No. Because the very language that we use so often, we are so well acquainted with, that's the language we use. You don't agree with me? Sure, you do agree with me. When you go to India, if you don't, people are not very educated. Huh? They know a spattle of English. When you talk to them, then they were thinking in Tamil how to put that word into English. Isn't it? Isn't that so? Sure. You see, so the same thing, if I, somebody speak to me in Mandarin, wow, this is very human, you know, very deep one. You know, the Shanghainese, then, I'm teaching English, how am I going to say it in this few words? You know what I mean? You, it's a struggle, you know what I mean? Now, when we look at the Word of God, that there were 12 apostles before the cross, one kind of foundation, they went out there, Judas Iscariot, they healed the sick, and even raised the dead, but he betrayed Christ, and so after the cross, there were 11 left. So one was chosen by casting of lot, by voting, there was Matthias. So he came up to 12, because the Israel, as I said, the Jew, they do not like the number 11. Number 11 is a number that always shows disorganization. And number 12 is a number that always perfect government. Governance number. You see. So they will always have to pick one. But the question right now, as I said, is, was God involved in this casting of lot to elect another one to replace Judas Iscariot? No. Definitely not. I don't know how many people cast vote, as I said. Was just only the 11 casting vote? Was all the woman involved in casting lot? Huh? If it was the 11, then how many did Matthias get? Maybe he won by one vote. And he didn't say that God let everybody gamble a little bit to see who they wanted to vote and see who won the prize. No, God is not in this thing. But over this side of the cross, God had to lay the foundation for the church. With those mind of the disciple being that they are Jewish, they are still always thinking about all those laws. Remember, Peter could not accept it when Cornelius' family, the Gentile, came into the gospel. They all find it hard to believe. They say, oh man, maybe they need to circumcise this and that and everything. Finally, they say, no need and give them some laws. That's the mind. They're still all going back and stick on to that tradition. You understand? And God was trying to slowly open up. Like this is one thing. Oh, circumcision, not necessary. They realized it. But they had more. Okay, God was still working on them slowly. Then here came a man called Paul. Paul wanted to go out there and destroy the people of the way. You know what I mean? People are all known as the people of the way. They wanted to destroy them. On his way to destroy their way. So on the way there, God, Christ met him and opened his eye. So Christ said, I'm going to make use of you. Huh? You know, and so God make use of him. But you know, at that time, people don't see that he was the chosen one to replace Matthias. But the mind of some of these in the preachers, oh no, these are all Jews. You know, they are this throne, including Matthias, was laying a foundation for the Jewish church. Let me say this, there's no Jewish church and there's no Gentile church. Huh? There's no such thing as a Jewish church and a Gentile church. Whoever taught that, he doesn't know his Bible. There is only one church. One. Huh? It began with a Jew, of course, because the gospel went first to the Jew. God break down the wall of partition. He separated the Gentile from the Jew and brought them, the Gentile, into this church. So there are no more two different kinds of people. They are all the same household of God. And I tell you one thing, when you go in the household of God, you are not going to say, I'm a Jew. Or I'm a Gentile. That's for sure. Because we're talking about this spiritual household. We're not talking about natural raised. I know that in the days of the age of regeneration, there will be different nations still around. There will be the Chinese, there will be the Filipino, there will be the Indian, there will be the white, and European, whatever, there will be that. But the spiritual church of God, when you have your body changed, you are not being identified as a Jew at all. nor as an Indian, nor as a Chinese. We are all the same household of God. Isn't it? Because when you are in the spiritual, as a spiritual nation of God, a holy nation of God, you think that the holy nation of God is known by Chinese, Indian, white, or whatever race? No, not at all. Not at all. What nationality are you? You say, I'm a Singaporean. No, you say you are Singaporean. Whether you are black skin, yellow skin, or white skin, whatever skin you are, as long as you are born in Singapore, you call yourself Singaporean. I said a foreigner who doesn't know Singapore, I say, oh, how come Singaporeans have so many different colors? So when you are of the household of God, your holy nation, what nationality are you? I'm a holy nationality, I'm from a holy nation. You see, there's only one identification. Do you see that? So, when we look at this now, when Paul came along, when Christ chose him, make use of him and tie him to be an apostle. When Jesus used him, I can only see one thing, that those other apostles, they were so much into traditional Jewish tradition, culture and all this, that you know, Christ would find a heart, so to speak, to get them to see Him. You know? And that's very true, because why, you know, we are still struggling in our mind. Whether you are born again or not born again, this black dog, white dog is still there. Peter and all the rest of these apostles, they knew Jesus Christ when He walked the earth with Him. They will find by the heart to take their view away of that Jewish culture, of these circumcision things, about these not eating of blood, you know, food strangled and such like things, unclean food and all these things. But those are the law, and they cannot see because they are so tied to it. So now that you use a man, Paul, now you know that Paul being a Pharisee was very strong in Phariseeism. He would have been more stubborn, we would say, more traditional minded than all the rest of those apostles, wouldn't he? But once God showed him, when Jesus showed him about grace, when he come to that revelation of what grace is all about, they're being saved by grace, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then how could law play its part? Cannot. Either you take grace or you take the law. And if you take the law, grace is no more grace. Won it. You know, he come to that revelation. That's why Christ could show it to him, and he began to preach. But you know, when he began to preach some of these things, the Jew doesn't like it. You see. Especially when he's, you know, in other places, where, like Thessalonica, Galatia, and all those places, some of these Pharisees who were converted to Christianity came on insisting that Gentiles is the circumcised. Isn't that so? So just imagine what about those Jewish groups that he visited. They would not like him to talk anything or contradict something. We will say today, like whatever I say, it seems to the Branham, I'm contradicting Brother Branham. Because their mind is so set on those codes, like the mind of these Jewish apostles are so set upon those laws and those typical laws and all those ordinances that it's very hard to break it away from them. Take the Catholic mind today. Even more so today, they will find it hard to move away from their faith because what Pope John II had done. He saw love, they said, we are the right one now. See? See that? You see? And all this point had endorsed the passion, the film made by Mel Gibson. And how did the actor kiss his hand? Oh my. And how did the actor say that he's with Jesus right now? Oh my. And you Protestant, you better wake up. We are the true Mother Church, you know. Come home. Do you understand? You say when you are being doctored, all this while, whether with tradition, you find hard to move. And I tell you one thing, you are sitting down here today, and every other Sunday, do you know that you are being brainwashed by me? Think about it. It is true, isn't it? It is called indoctrination. Ragana. Sure. That's the reason why when you are being indoctrinated, the Bible says, check the scripture. Search the scripture and see if those things were true. Isn't it? Even if the Pope says something which is true, scripturally true, that is true. Doesn't matter who said it. If it's true, it's true. It is. No matter who said it, if it's wrong, it's wrong. That's the thing about it, you know. But people today are so fearful. You know, on the websites, if you type Brahminism, there's one place where you will go, and these people are the ones who go on the forum and give their comment. So some of them are already pitied because they could not see the truth was because of their experience in the anti-message. Some of them said, I was raised up with my parents in this anti-message. But I laughed because why? I saw a whole lot of fear in it. There was a lot of fear put on them. It's true. You know it, isn't it? This anti-message church, Brahminism, is a lot of fear. Just like Roman Catholicism. And everything they talk about it is Brahman. And this message, and this how important this is, blah, 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 blah. And nothing else. We are not preaching Brahman, we are preaching Christ. And people don't see it. You see. So that's why when you have so much fear in it, you cannot move to the light. Because fear puts you in bondage, in darkness. And anything that is traditional is darkness. Because the Bible says this then is the message. In him is no darkness. Isn't that right? For God is light. Darkness means tradition. Anything that opposes the truth is in darkness. That's it. Paul says, I lay a foundation, and another build that on everything, but let every man take heed how he build thereupon. We are not just built upon the foundation of the apostles. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Each and every one of those apostles played a part. Even though they may not have had any epistle written, or whatever it is. But we know collectively what they teach. That's the reason why we cannot just take Paul alone. If we take Paul's epistle alone, we have to cancel out what James said. Isn't it? We will have to cancel what Jude said, what Peter said in those epistles. God did not intend every apostle to write epistle and have it in the Bible. He gave to whom in their part to play. And they played. And when we talk about the foundation of the church being laid or being built up upon this strong foundation, we are not talking about them being a foundation. Remember this. When we talk about foundation, we are talking about something that supports. Not just a piece of stone. We are not talking about a piece of stone. We are talking about the foundation, something that you stand on. Is that right? And when the 12 apostles came to lay their foundation, they are anchoring and building on these stones. Do you understand that? And you know how strange now for somebody to come and say, in the book of Revelation, let's go to the book of Revelation just for a while. In chapter 21. You know, here we have, in verse 9, the angel came to the throne and said, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy city descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal, and had a wall high and great, and had 12 gates, and had the gate 12 angels, the name written thereon, which are the name of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and then the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now here is just a description of something which is pictorial. You cannot, you know, spiritual things can never be described by natural word. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when you say something spiritual, it's very hard for you to use words to describe. And that's, you know, by the book of Revelation, there are visions and symbols. Huh? So when the Bible said that John saw a city coming down from heaven, and he says, wow, it's so beautiful, it's like a jasper stone, glittering here and there, maybe, you know. And then later on you read how they talk about, oh, the streets of gold and this and that, rivers flowing water and one river only and like this and that. You're trying to understand that this is a pictorial description of something that is spiritual. And yet the city is four square. It's a square, and all sides are the same. The length, the breadth are the same. Even the height was also 12,000 feet long. Now you and I know that there is no such thing as a city that is actually a square on earth. You never go find a city though where there is, well, really exactly a square. We know our city is always bound by boundary. And that boundary are usually the road or the river. Am I not right? Now you think about a city on this earth. Now here comes a man who teaches something about, oh, the 12 foundations on the wall. Those are the 12 apostles, including Matthias. And those are Jewish foundations. But Paul came along and built a foundation, a Gentile foundation. And that foundation, where is it? You know, I ask him, where is it? He says, in the center of the city. Where did the Bible say that? The man lied to me. He lied to me. As far as I'm concerned, he lied. What did the Bible say he was in the center of the city? Just like somebody told me years ago. Or went down to Brother Orson and told him that there are little serpent seed over this side of the flood. So how did he get in? How did the serpent seed come over this part of, over this side of the flood? So, you know, one of the women was pregnant by the serpent seed man before she entered into the ark. Well, you know, the ark was floating out there on the earth for how long? 1 year and 10 days, something like that. Huh? And how long would a woman carry a child? How many months? 9 months. He said, where did that? How many came out? 8 came out. Oh, no. 8 came out, of course. But then where was the serpent man? Or serpent seed? He was hiding in the ark. Hiding in the ark. Somebody lied, and he lied. Like it or not, you lied when you tell something that is not even scripture. Huh? You know that God has a mother? If I tell you that God has a mother, it's only, why? Oh, it's there. He must have a mother, or else he cannot be God. To be somebody must be born. So like you are born from your mother, so you know Jesus must have a mother, a God the mother. You know, if somebody says things like this, he lied. No matter how Roman Catholicism tries to say Mary, the mother of God, they try to polish the thing word up, but mother of God. It's the mother of Jesus, that's what the Bible said, not mother of God. You know how subtle this thing is? And you start to preach. Paul laid a foundation inside the city, the center of the city. What did the Bible say that? By and by, when he preached to these people, believe it. And people are believing it. But you say, what's the difference between those, oh, the 12 foundation and the wall, they are just Jewish foundation, but the one that Paul laid was a Gentile foundation. Ha! Strangely, what did the Bible say that Paul laid a Gentile foundation? He was sent to the Gentile, but he still preached to the Jew. So they said, oh, his gospel is only for the Gentile, and the Jew had nothing to do with it. Then when he was preaching out there in Thessalonians, Galatia, there are some converts, there are Jews there. And Paul said, don't you know this is a racist church? It's all Gentile church, you Jew, come! They said, well, that's why we have this KKK and all this so-called white man's church in America. They wouldn't allow a black to be in there. They wouldn't allow a Negro to be there. I don't even know whether they allow Indian to be in there. You see how that approaches, that spirit of lying, deception. And that same thing has crept into us. I saw this for years back then in the 80s. That's
why I hate that white spirit. You know, I'm not saying that I don't like the American people or America. I love the American people. I love America. But I hate the white spirit that comes from politics into the church. Huh? Do you know what happened in politics? How the twist and turn and all the superiority that act that they have? Look at Bush. Huh? See how he act? Look at all the histories of presidents in the modern world today as compared to Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, men who were on their knees and prayed. And they mean it because they experienced God. But here in America today, that spirit says, every politician says they are all Christian, born again Christian, whether you're Episcopal or Lutheran or Anglican, we're all born again. Oh my. You know what I mean? I was watching that National Geographic last night and a little bit of it about the Vatican. Nobody has been into the Vatican, you know. Show this Vatican and the inside of it. And then here was a man who was supposed to be a bishop. And he was inaugurated to become the archbishop. So, oh wow, what a great position. You know, I don't know how, but I could fulfill the position. Precision of any need. And the whole thing was just a pompous. All the titles. You can create as many titles as you want. And Roman Catholicism is a church that has a lot of titles. Isn't it? Who? The Bible has how many titles? Only five. Huh? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That's it. Isn't it? The deacons, of course, and the elders, that's it. The Catholic Church, there are so many. Archbishop, bishop, archbishop, archbishop, cardinal, cardinal, monsignor, monsignor, cardinal. They're going up and up, purple, red. All these different colors. They carry all that title as if they were so important. You see that, how the great deception works in the churches today. And the same thing is coming in for politics, from all this Catholic church and all this coming into the end time message. I remember the time when, I don't mention the name on this tape, but American brother said, hey, look, Brother Gann, we have the American. He said, you know what? I told him, I said, I don't like the American spirit here. Many times they're so bad. But I said, hey, anyway, look at it. The general American producer, William Lyon Brennan. Do you know? The brother here who was with us last time, years ago, he said, you know, I was telling him this. He said, oh, brother, you should tell him that, you know, but Asia produced Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? You see? It's that's what it is. It's that spirit of pride. You know, God could have raised up anybody he liked, but he has a plan. And what did they know about what Brother Abraham said? About the sun falling, you know, the gospel followed the sun, the rising of the sun from the east, going to the west, and then coming back to the east. What happened now? What is the gospel now? Where is the Spirit of God doing its work now? You think it's still in America? Go to America today, you see what happened. See what happened out there in America today. See what happened in Europe today. It wasn't for God to do what has His will. God has His, well, you know, His leadership. He do what He want. Europe had its day. America has its day. It's gone. Problem says, not finished. The sun has to go eastward. I mean, westward, you know. And it's over these parts of the world, the Asiatic world. And if you believe me, look at, if you just look at the revival, people are coming to the light. I received a letter from a brother who is a Ghanaian. He wrote me, he said, Brother Gan, do you remember me? I met you 2 years ago in Antipolot. I was the black African brother. He was more charismatic. A Trinitarian. He said, Brother Gan, I'm baptized already. Be baptized. I'm not in this message. I'm pastoring a church. A Ghanaian went all the way to Philippines and pastored the church there. You think about it. And he said, Brother God, please come and teach us deeper things of God. I said, I just came back, you know, from the Philippines.
You think about it.
And there's Roman Catholic priest. You probably have seen the slides when I showed it. He was in the priesthood. When he came, somebody showed him the message. He said, come and listen. Come and join us in the convention. And he learned. He said, Adam, do you still want to continue? He said, no. I will leave the Catholic Church. And he, you know, I was told when I went this time down there, the brother told me he already left the Catholic Church now. And has been baptized in Jesus' name. You know. And all Philippines is one good example of people having a revival. You know. You have seen Sri Lanka, India in a small group. Africa, good example. And then you have over in China all these little churches throughout all that land out there. But in America, very sad to say that many people are just cold. You know, they're just going on with what Brother Abraham says, you know what I mean? It's finished. And don't let the pride come up. You know what? The city that John saw coming down from heaven. 12 foundation is the wall. The Bible says, now we know that the foundation is not laid on the wall. No building laid foundation on the wall. It's on the ground. But the Bible is describing something. And you know the Bible says a great and high wall. What does the wall represent in the first place? It's not a literal thing. It's just a representation. You know what a wall is for? You say it's great and high. Huh? It's not standing the wall, you know, that you it like separate you from your neighbor. Hi, neighbor. You know what I mean? It's a great wall, like the Great Wall of China. It's high wall. Why? What was the Great Wall of China built? To keep the enemies out. And to keep the people safely in. That was a description on what we see. And yet the wall has a purpose because you have a wall around the city and there's no gate. How do people go in and out? Huh? Climb up the ladder? No. It must be gates, isn't it? The gate is a going in and out, and that shows the beginning of the oracles of God that are given to the Jews first. We know that. That's why you have the 12 tribes. And the foundation at the wall, which is lived between those gates. The foundation is that we support the oracles. Huh? You know that Old Testament, the prophet came to the children of Israel, to those 12 tribes, and give them the word of God concerning Messiah and so on and so on. Isn't it so? The gate represents the authority. You know, in those days, the gate of any city. When you do a transaction, it's always done at the city. Not today, you want to get married, you go into the registry of marriage, right? Isn't that right? Huh? Or you want to get some, transfer your car, registered car or vehicle, you go to the land transport or traffic office. But in those days, wherever you want to transact, is at a gate. At a gate. You want to propose to a woman, whatever, is that a gate? So, legally, of course, so the elders there be witnessing. You see? And then the money lender, you know, it's all at a gate. Do you understand this? That's authority. And the foundation, there is the 12 apostles. They are the one that verifies or what we would say, interpret the Old Testament. The oracle that came to Israel. So they give the support to them. So of course he's just telling about the war. How great or high it is, the enemy cannot get in and out. Because here we have the truth. We have strength. We have power. And you cannot come into our church of God without coming through this word of the Word of God. Huh? Isn't it? You must come by God's way. You cannot sneak in. Remember the marriage supper? Or not the marriage supper, the marriage feast that you are talking about. How the man was found without wedding garment. How do you get in? You should sneak in through a window or something. You know what I mean? There must be a proper way of approach. And one man would say, well, I'm kind of surprised. You know, I find it sad that some people supported some ministers in a way that without really examining it. He said that those 12 gates, those 12 foundations, is at the wall. And the wall is not a city. When you say the wall is not a city, I can say this many times. The road is also not a city. The houses is also not the city. The people are also not the city. Nothing then is the city. What is the city? Think about it. Now we don't talk about Singapore. Let's talk about America. Let's use any city. Detroit. Or Denver. Oklahoma, New York. Any city. When you take the road, when you hit the road on a vehicle, the sign says New York. How do you know you are entering New York? Because you have passed a boundary line. That boundary line is either the road. You come in past this road, from here on is New York. Isn't that right? Yes or no?
Sure.
How do you mark the states of America? A certain road, a certain area, you can see a sign that says this is, beyond this road is Oklahoma. This road is Ohio, whatever that is.
That's as simple as that.
So are you going to say that the road that demarcate the whole boundary of the city is not the city? Then what is the city? The building in the city is the city. Then what is the city? A city is a composed houses, people, road, and whatever is in that area. And the activity that is going on in that area. So how can somebody say that the holy city New Jerusalem, the wall is not a city? The Bible said, John said, I saw the city, holy Jerusalem, coming down. The whole thing is a city, the wall. And everything that is in it is the city. If you say it's not a city, then those stone, the foundation stone, is not the apostle. He's not part of the city. The wall, because the wall is not part of the city. Are you trying to tell me that? You know, I begin to see sometimes the Spirit is sticking upon some of these people that just simply interpret the Bible the way they want it. Then what is the city to them? Maybe in the center of the city is the general foundation. That's where exactly the city is. If you say in the center of the city is the foundation for the Gentile, then the rest of everything around it must be the city. And what composes the city? What make up a city? I'm a part of the city of God. Am I not right? You are a part of the city of God. Whether we be on the wall or whether we be in the center or whether we be on the side of the wall, any place that we are in that area is the city. Am I not right? So what then if you don't have the understanding of this foundation that God had laid in Jesus Christ from the very beginning? God had already laid that. The apostle came along, laid the foundation to anchor it. Paul said, I have built one. Is that right? Paul had a better revelation, sure. The apostles, the rest of us could have the same revelation if they would keep away themselves from all this tradition. That's the reason why I said this message. The people in this entire message will have a better understanding of the Word of God if they will take their mind off from all this course of Brother Branham and move along. As long as you stay in that court, you will always be in all that court stuff. And do anything that's shown to you, you will not see it. And so how could God show you anything more? Let me ask you. How could God show the Methodists anything more? How could God show the Baptists anything more? The Presbyterians, how can they show them anything more? When all that they are thinking about is all that is in the church and tradition. God can't. Because their foundation is not the Christ. Even though as much as they claim it. It's still all on their background, on their church tradition. All their upbringing. And it's hard to pull that away from them. You see. But I believe that as Paul came along with all the deeper thing of God, you can see Peter, James and John, they do realize it. They could see what Paul had. But sometimes because of fear, sometimes people do that. They keep on backtracking. In this entire message is a good example. They will stay with somebody they are so familiar with that they will not even dare look at the Bible. And look into the scripture and see how true that it is.
Alright, so let me think in how he built that upon. That will affect other people's life. How you build upon it affect other people's life. Do you know that? Huh? Let every man take heed how he build thereupon. Take heed how he walk. Because, you see, it has an effect upon the life of other people. If a preacher come along and teach something else, he doesn't take heed to how he build, he's going to affect the people. And as a believer, how you relate to others about the faith that you have is going to affect them too. You see? For other foundation can no man lay, then that is already laid, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? I'll stop it here today. Continue some other time. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing. In the understanding of thy word, Father, we keep in our hearts for our Lord and that our faith be built up in Christ Jesus. That Lord, we continue to grow, standing upon this foundation of truth, Lord. We bless thy name, we bless thy holy word, Lord. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In this hour, the time that we live in, how true that is, Father, that this word of yours, that reside in our heart, O Lord, will overcome all things in this end time now. As we journey on, we know the trial, the temptation, the difficulties that we are facing. The uncertainty ahead. The tumultuous time, Father, that is now being seen, O Lord, on the horizon. And greater will be this great rising up of distress, Lord, upon the nation. And there will be persecution that will come. There will be many, many things, Lord, when we see pestilences perhaps will be suddenly rise on the horizon of famine and earthquakes and tsunami and whatever will be. As people are, many are living on the edge, Lord Father, one way or another. Be they your people or be they the people of the world who know not me. But we know, Lord, the world is in a stage, Father, that there will come a great tossing and turning, a rocking and a rolling, Lord, as it prevailed to bring forth the sons of God to be manifest. So, Lord, we ask that you give us more light and shine upon us, Lord. May we find favor in thy sight, Lord, and help us to be always watchful and prayerful, Lord, in full supplication now. And bless those who hear this message, Lord, on tape. We ask that you bless each and every one of them, Father. We commit all things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.